now open. You can also visit restorativehouston.wix.com/RJCH for more information. Once again, that's restorativehouston.wix.com/RJCH. This is 90.1 KPFT Houston.
It's time to let loose of that unwanted car, truck, RV, or motorcycle and donate it to KPFT. Your tax-deductible donation makes you a member of KPFT, and we'll have the vehicle quickly towed away. You can make a difference at the station that is the voice of our community. Support KPFT now by calling 1-855-573-8227. That's 1-855-KPFT-CAR. Or go online at kpft.org.
KPFT Houston.
You're listening to 90.1 FM KPFT Houston.
Listeners should be aware that the following program contains language and audio images which may be found disturbing and may not be suitable for your snotty-nosed little brat who probably cusses like a sailor behind your back anyway. Parental discretion is advised.
Greetings, and welcome to another edition of Technology Bites.
Oh, yeah. Welcome to the show. You hear that laughter?
Live in-person laughter?
That's the laughter of not having to hook up Flicted's ailing Mac to the Skypes.
Ailing?
I don't know. Is it ailing?
Well, there,
I don't
think so. There's also that whole beginning of the show when the first thing I say, I have to think, okay, am I potted up as I say this, or
I want to hear, I want to have the outtakes of you going, and I, hello.
Yeah, those would not be suitable for broadcast. They don't have the list of words anymore up here, but I use them.
He uses them at home.
Did anybody hear that?
Yeah, what was that?
All right, well, we're glad you could tune in. We got Pete in the studio, so got a nice... It's nice to have the room full again, you know? It was full of Dwight before, but now it's full of Pete. So, welcome to the show. Visit us online at geekradio.com. Now we got this extra bandwidth without having to do the Skype over the IRC.
What are we going to do with all this bandwidth? Let's bog it down. BitTorrent.
Download some
everybody,
torrents.
Yeah, everybody
update torrents. Update your software, everybody.
We do not advocate. Well, you can torrent. You can torrent legal things, yeah, I suppose.
There's lots of legal stuff out there.
Download every ISO ever for every distro ever.
I'm sure there's some.
We're just
I'm sure there's lecture. Some guy who hoards operating systems. He's just got a bunch of Frankenstein RAID systems that he's created. He's just got. I've got every distro of every operating system ever made. All right. Visit us online at geekradio.com. That's our website. Website.
Our website.
Our website.
Put that in your eye.
It's actually not a. It's not a big mess. It doesn't look too dated. Probably could use a refresh, but. You know, whenever. And you can hang out with us on IRC, irc.cuckoo.com.
Cuckoo.
And the channel is Tech Bytes. If you are not familiar with how to use IRC, you can always just use our IRC client.
Or just use Twitter.
On the website. No, don't use Twitter. That'll never catch on.
No, we now only communicate by Instagram.
Take a picture.
Click. It lasts longer.
I wonder how long all this digital stuff's going to last. You know, it's just we're just one good power failure away from like anarchy.
One awesome solar flare.
Ooh, a nice EMP
we dodged one recently. I think we dodged a magnetic storm where it didn't come towards us.
We moved the Earth a little bit to the left.
Everybody leave.
Move to the left.
Don't do it. We'll capsize. I don't get it.
You haven't seen The Life of Pi.
Oh, I have seen The Life of Pi, but it was on a screen about yay big in the back seat of, on the back of a seat on a plane.
Just when you look at Groofhouse, it may work out.
Which character are you from? Are you the lion?
I'm the tiger.
The tiger. All right.
I'm the water man.
Crouching tiger, hidden Groofhouse.
You're the living island.
I didn't see it, so I don't know.
The truth.
All I know, it was filmed on a green screen.
Was it?
What? Yeah. You've just wrecked the illusion? They didn't send that guy and a lion or tiger out on a boat in the middle of...
As are 98% of the movies these days.
Nothing is real.
Actually, most of our show is green screen, too.
So was Zombie Strippers.
Was there green screen in that?
You haven't seen it?
I'm not going to watch it.
Oh, what? Oh. You're not going to watch it?
I don't see how I can.
It's like
with your eyes?
The singularity, you know. If Jamie
let me ask you, are you glad you saw it?
In what respect?
There was a state of mind that I exist in now, where it's just the thought of the movie. You know, it's just you can imagine what the movie might have. You can guess probably accurately some of the storyline and some of the scenes and vague pictures in my brain. And my belief is that what I have right now. Is infinitely better than the
it's
real
like
thing.
That, it's right. Like that gift from that distant relative that you are pretty sure that once you open it, you're not going to like it. But as long as it's got wrapping paper and a bow on it, you can still imagine that it's
It's like you were
more.
Really in a hurry for Christmas to get here, but now you kind of wish that it was still on its way instead of having just happened.
For those that don't know, yeah, Afflicted found, unless you want to tell it, Afflicted found a DVD.
A Blu-ray.
Even more awesome, yeah. A Blu-ray of a movie called Zombie Strippers.
Strippers. No, it's a Zombie Pythons.
I might watch that. Directed by Jay Lee.
That's right.
Turns out not this Jay Lee.
No.
But it's still a present all the
just
same.
Just a Jay Lee that ruins my Google
I think
page rank.
Maybe if you just take the Blu-ray and put it in and hit play and then skip chapters. So you only watch maybe 5 or 10 seconds of each chapter. It'll kind of give you an idea without actually having to watch the whole thing.
I am not going to take advice on watching this movie from the person who would dare buy this movie from me.
I would go check out Rotten Tomatoes. And that's probably
all
the info you need.
Blu-ray, so there's like 10 hours of more of extras than there is of actual movie.
Yeah, there's actually an extra pop-up video track, which I actually watched the whole thing with a pop-up video track a second time.
Is there editor's comments or producer's comments or whatever?
There is actually an audio track with the director and
director's
Jenna
cut.
Jameson and
There's also a Two Girls, One Cup reaction version of the show where they show people watching the movie.
But I didn't listen to the commentary track. That was too much. I couldn't sit through it a third time. Because to be honest, I was hoping the pop up video track would actually have a lot better stuff in it, and it wasn't as good as I had hoped.
A lot of the voiceover ones, especially if the movie isn't all that great in the first place, sometimes comedies and stuff, you'd think it would be really funny, but instead they're talking about, oh, yeah, you know, we were at lunch that day, and, you know, it's about whatever they were doing
it's
that
real
afternoon.
Hit or miss.
Before they filmed before they taped the.
And then you get to this scene where it's like a really. Something weird happens, or it's a big deal, or you know, like from an interview somewhere else that, like, this was a really weird thing that it ended up in the film. And. Right, like 45 seconds before that scene starts, they start talking about what they had for lunch.
Yeah, yeah.
And then they talk over that scene. And then when they get back to the movie,
that was that thing, you know. Rewind it and you can see it. That was amazing, but yeah, whatever. Now we're on to what we had after lunch.
In other Blu-ray news, I bought and watched my first Blu-ray ever.
What was it?
Ray?
Moonrise Kingdom.
Oh.
Wes Anderson.
You were having a Wes Anderson film festival before you saw the Hotel Budapest.
Right. Yeah, I'll watch them all before I go see Budapest.
I have a handwritten letter from Wes Anderson.
Are you serious? Yeah.
Do you really?
Don't quit.
Well, sort of.
Well, is it handwritten or not?
Is it from Wes Anderson or not?
It's handwritten, but it's not really... Just a whole letter.
Say, please move your car? Or what is it? What does it say?
No. See, I've been a Wes Anderson fan since Bottle Rocket. Right? Long, long ago, before anybody really cared who he was or knew who he was or whatever.
Before Wes Anderson movies were Wes Anderson movies.
Back when he was all indie and cool, and now you hate him?
So I really loved it. And so then he had Rushmore coming out. So me and probably 100, 200 other people... were part of a mailing list on Yahoo called Lawn Wranglers, which was for the Bottle Rocket movie, fans of Wes Anderson and the Wilson brothers and stuff. So we started saying, like, oh, you know, this was filmed in Texas. And so I started collecting information about where all the scenes were filmed. And so I had a web page that has, like, a list of shooting locations.
Sweet.
And
you can scratch one off the list.
There was a bunch of them that we didn't know. So... they were doing a bus tour. Wes Anderson and Jason Schwartzman and a couple other people were doing a bus tour for Rushmore. And the final place they ended up was in Austin, where they showed the world premiere of it in Austin. And so I went up from Houston for that. And when I went up there, I made a list of shooting locations that I didn't know that I took with me with a self-addressed stamped envelope. And when I was there, I gave it to Wes Anderson. I said, hey, could you, like, fill this out to, like, say, like, where these scenes were filmed? And, yeah, so, like, a week later, I got the letter back in the mail, and it's, like, from Wes, like, written, you know.
Excellent.
Where these scenes were.
You can scratch one of those locations off your list now. It's no longer there. Del Mar Stadium in Rushmore, where they filmed
Rushmore.
The flying
planes. I had a few from Rushmore. And the funny thing is, even though Rushmore was filmed in Houston, I actually did not collect a complete list of Houston. The thing is, by then he'd gotten popular, and I started a list, but then a couple other people had lists, and they had spent more time and effort on the web pages than me, and I was like, oh, forget it. Mine's kind of the definitive one for Bottle Rocket. Even today, it's still kind of the definitive Bottle Rocket shooting locations page, but yeah, I never did much with the Rushmore one.
Hmm. The story wasn't nearly as interesting as I was hoping.
That's because you haven't watched Zombie Strippers.
No, it's because I haven't watched much Wes Anderson.
It'll change your life, Jay.
I don't want my life changed. I like my life the way it is. Now I'm asking for it. I've changed myself. All right, so I'm not going to watch Zombie Strippers. You can't make me.
Oh, I can make you.
Clockwork Orange.
He's
going
to watch it. I'm just going to. Just watch the disc outside on your shelf.
Yeah, I'm going to get a copy of it, and I'm going to set it here on my laptop and play it during this show.
So basically, I've got you to buy two copies of it in your lifetime.
He said I was going to buy it.
He's going to torrent
it. I already bought
a
copy, and so I can legitimately have a backup.
He's going to end up with a letter from Jay Lee, the director.
Oh, this is
with his Wes Anderson thing. You've bought more copies of this movie than any single location.
Our sales have tripled.
Are you with the Sci-Fi Channel?
You could probably maintain the definitive list of set locations for zombie strippers if you wanted to step up.
Or disc locations.
Yeah. I could just come next week and say that, yes, I watched it.
Yeah, but then you'll have to give me, you know, a synopsis.
Quiz me about it now.
Zombies, strippers.
What do I need to know? I don't memorize actors.
Well, I'm not going to ask you now because then you could look it up.
And the other one.
I'm sure I could Google my way through seeing that film.
Which stripper was the third one to get bitten?
Oh, Anne?
No. <I don't know.
laughs> Candy?
Portia?
Lexus?
Genesis? Oh, no, wait. That was... Oh man, Proteus.
Prometheus.
Prometheus.
Yeah, it was precursor.
There was a stripper in that movie.
I was thinking
it was Proto-Life.
Actually,
he was naked.
I was actually I watched Prometheus in Russia when I was in Russia, and I went there and I was like, oh, surely it'll be subtitled in Russian, and then it'll just play the movie and it'll be subtitled in Russian. No, it was dubbed. So I really. Even the movie's confusing enough. Plus, I was watching it in Russian, most of which I didn't understand. So, and it was called Prote, instead of, yeah, I didn't get it very well.
You could still probably figure out what to do at the very end to revert the whole situation, I bet. As far as which way to run, no spoilers.
Oh,
yeah,
yeah.
In Proteus.
In Prometheus.
At a 90-degree angle.
Prometheus.
At a 90-degree angle.
All right, well, what we're going to do now, stop talking about movies, and we're going to go to San Antonio, find out Pete's not there, come back to the studio, and do the info shot. So take it away, info shot.
It's the Technology Bites info shot. Technology news and commentary by Peter Hughes. Injected directly into your skull.
Well, now would probably be a good time to play the Tiger Lily's Doomed, but we don't have that, so we'll skip it. But no, and speaking of movies, you know, there's all these like apocalyptic scenario movies and stuff that we have now, and you know, you get Elysium was out the one with where all the rich people moved up to a satellite, and all the poor saps like us were still down on the like Wall-E style Earth. Apparently, I didn't see that one. Or The Hunger Games, where apparently, you know, at least it's dystopian, but they're hot as Jennifer Lawrence. Or Blade Runner, which would be cool, except for all the rain would kind of suck. But, you know, so you get all those dystopian things. Well, NASA has actually, they funded a study to kind of look at civilizations and their collapses, and a lot of it... A lot of it sounds like those movies, the dystopian future. The study was sponsored by the Goddard Space Flight Center and was first reported on in The Guardian. It examined five key factors that led to the collapse of civilizations like the Roman Empire and the Han Dynasty. I think they also studied the Mayans and, of course, Rome is sort of the famous one, but there's lots of others. It found that civilizations collapse when the five key factors were population, climate, water, agriculture, and energy. It found that civilizations collapse when these factors coalesce in such a way, you can stop me when this starts sounding familiar to you, when they coalesce in such a way that natural resources are stretched at the same time the gap between rich, termed elites in the study, and the poor, dubbed commoners, increases. Oops. Yeah, let's see. What climate? Oh, yeah, no, we don't have any problems with climate. Fortunately, that one's off our list. Water? No, there's no droughts or floods or anything happening with, you know, there's no massive droughts like, oh, say, in California. Agriculture? Well, I guess we've got, that seems to be okay. Energy? Well, there's always kind of crises with that. In arriving at these conclusions, the study authors, led by applied mathematician Safa Modisharai of the U.S. National Science Foundation, supported National Socio-Environmental Synthesis Center, applied something known as the HANDY, Human and Nature Dynamics Model of Analysis. This all sounds like a movie, doesn't it? It was derived from previous predator-prey mathematical models invented in the early 20th century and assigns nature the role of prey and humans the role of predator. Then they go one step further. This one will torque off all you one percenters out there who are listening to us, all of you in the 1%. They added the elites in a wolf-like role. The paper says, we've also added a different dimension of predation whereby elites prey on the production of wealth by commoners. I know this starts sounding kind of Marxist. Basically, the problem, though, is the study details just how this type of predation can lead an empire to collapse. Quote, even using an optimal depletion rate and starting with a very small number of elites, the solution appears to be on a sustainable path for quite a long time. Then elites grow and consume too much, resulting in a famine among commoners that eventually causes the collapse of society. According to one model run during the research, there is a total collapse of society just 125 years after the elites reach their maximum size. Unfortunately, I don't think they tell us what that number is as a relation to population, so we have no idea if we've hit there. The report was penned in 2012, but recently accepted into the peer-reviewed scientific journal Ecological Economics, points out that the elites are typically blissfully unaware of society's imminent demise. It says that, quote, historical collapses were allowed to occur by elites who appear to be oblivious to the catastrophic trajectory. Most clearly in the Roman and Mayan cases. Of course, what's the deal? You're an elite. You're a Roman elite. You're laying around having orgies and people peeling grapes for you, you know, having your slaves do all this stuff. Everything looks great right up until the barbarians knock down the door and, you know, haul you off to slavery, right? So,
get away, you nasty barbarians!
As in every good sci-fi flick, all hope is not lost. The study authors say that, quote, collapse can be avoided and population can reach equilibrium if the per capita rate of depletion of nature is reduced to a sustainable level and if resources are distributed in a reasonably equitable fashion. Well, we're effed. Just kidding. The thing is, it's not like it's easy. As this article from CNET says, so that's all it'll take, a sudden change of heart among the elites to distribute their wealth amongst the rest of us and people to stop using natural resources like free lives in a video game. They in the article saying, better start hoarding bottled water and batteries now. In other news, so in as our society totters towards dystopia and all that stuff, well, you need like some kind of fantasy world that you could go into, right? How about VR, which finally, after how many decades have we heard stuff talking about VR? I remember, what's his name? The dreadlocked dude who was the big VR expert of the 90s, Jared something. He got famous talking about VR, and of course, in the 90s, we all got our VR, you know, goggle systems and used them all the time, right?
Are you talking about Pauly Shore?
Or Cliff Stahl. No, there was Jared.
Jared Lanier.
There we go. Yeah. That guy, I got so sick of him in VR because it never happened. But this, we're a lot closer. Sony has revealed its plans for virtual reality technology on the PlayStation 4. And this is all, you know, the other thing this comes on top of, and I think probably the big credit should go to, Oculus Rift, which apparently is a local.
They're local.
So, you know, shout out to our local homies in virtual reality. Sony showed off the president of Sony Worldwide Studios, Shuhei Yoshida, which I'm sure I butchered his name, showed off a prototype headset at a Game Developers Conference 2014 event titled Driving the Future of Innovation. He says, nothing delivers a feeling of immersion better than VR. VR has been a dream of many gamers since the computer was invented, and many of us at PlayStation have dreamt of VR and what it could mean to the gaming community. It's currently codenamed Project Morpheus.
Ever since everybody watched Weird Science.
Or any show where they, like, got past the firewall and encryption with their virtual gloves and headsets.
Nintendo Power Gloves. And yeah. Ray-Bans.
There you go. And they fought the, like, pixelated 8-bit dragon to get past the system. The VR system is currently codenamed Project Morpheus and will work with PlayStation 4. It's still in prototype form, but it is the, quote, culmination of Sony's work over the last 3 years to realize our vision of VR for games and to push the boundaries of play. It uses a 1080p LCD, offers a 90-degree field of view, and will integrate with the PlayStation camera for tracking and PlayStation Move for motion control. It connects via HDMI and USB, while the current prototype uses a 5-meter cable. That's 15 feet for... 15 feet for you Americans. Sony would like to make it wireless, which would be pretty cool. The company says the headset doesn't put weight on your nose or cheeks, and its design allows for airflow without the lenses fogging up. Yes, because what you want to be is in the middle of a zombie assault, and my glasses, I can't see anything without them. They fog up. Let's see, Sony Magic Labs' Richard Marks, no, not that Richard Marks, who pioneered the iToy camera and PlayStation Move, offered further details. He says that the thing that makes it special is really the feeling of being in another place. As one example, Marks says he's been working on a project with NASA and the Jet Propulsion Lab that will allow PS4 owners to feel like they're right with the space agency on Mars. Marks has identified 6 areas that Sony needs to crack in order for it to work: sight, sound, tracking, control, ease of use, and content. For sight, Marks refers to Sony's considerable weight in optics and imaging. I mean, they've got credibility on that. For sound, the company is working on 3D binaural tech to aid presence and immersion. On some of the things I've read, people have done some light testing with some of this. You can hear footsteps behind you, and you can tell that there's that they're walking behind you. Pretty cool. Let's see. And for tracking and control, the PlayStation camera and PlayStation Move, which they're out there. I don't know how successful they've really been. They certainly haven't been up with Kinect as far as people really kind of hacking and using them. But having this go with the PlayStation 4 is a good sign. They showed for content their software partners, including Epic Games, Crytek, Autodesk, Unity, and more. And they do have demos. Sony will be showing demos of Thief, Eve, Valkyrie, and more running on Project Morpheus at the Game Developers Conference. The plus side is you've got Oculus VR and Valve introduced VR prototypes, and then you've got Sony coming in. I think that one makes it pretty safe to say that this is coming. Don't get your hopes up yet, though, because Sony has confirmed to The Verge that Project Morpheus will not be made into a consumer product this year. I'm sure they're trying to show it because they don't want somebody else to steal the march on them and show their VR thing. It actually, the design on the headset looks pretty cool. A lot of them look kind of dorky, I must say. You look really dorky wearing them. And this one's got, this one's pretty cool. Of course, by the time it all happens, we'll just be looking at it on our Google Glass anyway, so it won't. We'll just all live in a virtual world. Speaking of sort of the Google Glass thing, Google announced that they're working on kind of Motorola announced a product, and Google has announced some things for Android that will make it more friendly to making wearable stuff. Coming up, and so we'll have more on that as that develops. And then we got a few Apple-y things. Here's one that's just, because it's serious enough, it makes sense. If you have OS X Mavericks and you haven't put in the update to 10.9.2, the system update to that, do it. This one is really, really critical. It fixes an SSL VPN vulnerability. In other words, it would mean that if you don't put this patch in, you can go to what you think is a secure site and it's not really secure for you. So that's important. And it should show up in your software update. So just install it. That's all you have to do. But in other Apple news, Burger King is going to roll out upgrades to its iPhone app that will allow users to pay for purchases using the device and may also offer the option of placing orders in advance for later pickup. This follows McDonald's and Taco Bell, who are testing similar programs, which is following, of course, who always does this stuff first? Starbucks. I guess selling, you know, coffee for $4 a cup gives you plenty of resources to have cool apps and stuff. The updated apps will also alert customers to coupons and specials, preparing for iBeacon or similar technology, and laying the foundation for Hotspot 2 technology, which will at some point in the near future offer the option of automatically logging in to such businesses' public Wi-Fi networks. An Android version of the app is also likely in development. So now all you Burger King fans, you don't have to sit out in the cold of no apps and technology. And then one change, which is kind of, it fixes something that was a not positive surprise when the iPad Air came out. When they came out with the iPad Air, everybody figured that the iPad 4 would get cheaper and would be the like base iPad, and Apple went to the iPad 3 instead, or the iPad 2, I'm sorry, which is that's even worse, went to the iPad 2, and people have apparently stayed away in droves from the cheaper iPad 2. So Apple has now dumped the iPad 2. It's been discontinued at long last. And now the iPad 4 is back at about $400. So it's at the same price point as that iPad 2 was, but you get the Retina display. The only downside for those of you who are all on your iPhone 3GSs and you're replacing your iPad 2 is you have to switch to the Lightning. It's the Lightning connector for the charge and sync. So you'll have to have an extra cable if you haven't done like Apple commands and updated to the latest phone, iPad, and every other device, and your laptop or computer. So you've got Thunderbolt and all that going. But the other thing they did is apparently that's you know, the thing about it, now that it's got the same connector, then the $100 extra to get an iPad Air, you probably pretty much, you're better off just ponying up and getting the latest and greatest. I would say that on this. It's only if that is the ultimate limits of your budget and you know you'll never have the extra $100 to get the iPad Air. The experience that you would have between it, I think, you would find it to be dramatically different. But this could make sense for schools and businesses, though, which can buy in bulk, so that you can save a lot of money, and then that would work. And in that kind of situation, it might be of value. In other rumors, because of course they announced all that stuff last year, so I have two rumors. I'll tell you what the headlines are on them to start with and then go into the detail. The first headline is Apple's iPad Pro plans reportedly on hold. And the second one is Apple iPad Pro not dead yet, says analyst. So we have the battle of the same opposite rumors out at the same time. I didn't realize they could occupy the same space. So the thing about it, they may both be true, actually. It's possible that Apple has shelved the iPad Pro because they can't get the yields for that size, or they're waiting for the market to get to where they really feel like it's time to launch it. And so the fact that they're still waiting, that could mean that both of them actually might make sense. I don't know. I you think about it, and it's kind of like to hold it up, to have a 12-inch or 12.9-inch iPad – I don't know if that would make sense to people, or if it would seem like you were having my first iPad, you know, where it's like this big clunky Fisher Price kind of, you know, it's obviously it'd be fairly light, but it still would be kind of, I don't know. I don't think I've met anybody who had the experience who went, you know what? This iPad is just too darn small. I can't see my whole movie on it or any of that. So I don't know if this will be. I wonder if this one is one where they may wait and let the Android market determine if people really are demanding bigger ones. Especially, I wonder what the pricing would be on a almost 13-inch iPad. I'm thinking that would not just be $100 more for the big one, and that would probably also have an impact, because I don't think most people are not replacing a laptop with a tablet, and this one, that's what the role that this seems like it would fill for me. So I'm Peter Hughes, and that's the Technology Bytes news.
Thanks for that, Pete.
So far, I don't know if I've duplicated the end. I need to, like, sit and write down what I want to say at the end, but obviously I want to make it clear it's the end of the news and some of that kind of stuff so that people can, like,
we'd like to know
you
were done.
No, I was over. Are you finished
yet?
What
did you say?
Blah, blah,
that's
blah,
it.
Apple rumors,
I'm done with this.
Blah, 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 iPad.
I'd say drop the mic, but it might start on the dawn.
Peace. I could just, like, thump it like I dropped it like it's hot.
Wow, way to spoil the illusion. Oh, did you thump the mic again? All right, everybody. It's time to go to the phones if you're interested in being on the air with us tonight.
There's rush to the phones in a mad frenzy.
Limited amount of patience for your nonsense tonight. So 713-526-5738. If you want to be on the air, we are taking your calls. And we welcome them. So I see a phone ringing. That means Groovehouse has got to get to work.
So which dystopia would people want to live in if we're going to have our collapsed society or a pre-collapsed society?
I don't. If society collapses, I don't feel like I'm going to be one of the people that survives.
You're counting on dying in the first wave?
Well, there's a lot of people that, you know, that are really prepared. You know, those people that are, you know, have their shelters and their food laid out and all that, and they're well armed. They're gonna, you know, they might be the first to go.
Right. There was a book. There was a book by a British Special Forces guy, and what he said is that just in his experience, the person who's the expert, who really knows how to handle everything, and who, you know, who, or especially the particular situation you're in, he said, yeah, you can count on them being the first one to die. You know, that then, and that everybody else, all the people who have no clue.
I got to figure
that
there's somebody, some group of people that is, you know, pretty much got the installer list for all the bomb shelters and basically said, okay, here's where all the food stores are and the weapons.
Well, if you read the comments on any kind of, you know, article that talks about sort of the end of things, there's always the one person who, especially if it's the more geeky end of this deal, where it's like, yeah, no, I haven't done any preparations, but I have enough guns to take the stuff away from the people who did buy the food.
That's what I'm saying. It's just going to be, you know, there's going to be too much struggle going on, you know, and I'm not going to have anything. If I have anything anybody wants, they're probably going to kill me for it. And I'm not going to really, you know, it's
God,
not like
he's got G.I. Joes at his house.
It's not like
unopened.
It's not like tech support's going to make a lot of difference. Hey, my computer won't boot up. It's because we haven't had electricity for the last 6 months.
No, don't kill him. The only computers left run XP. We have to keep him alive at all costs.
Oh, I'll become their new gods as they bring up their, you know, they'll have some Windows 3.1.1 computer that's powered by some guy they make ride a bicycle. Come on!
Pedal faster, we're booting.
There'll be some crazy overlord who's got, like, you know, people forced into slavery to reenact websites and lolcats and stuff. That'd be like the scene in the Vietnam era movie,
Apocalypse Now.
Apocalypse Now. Yeah, it'll be that guy back there, you know, go through all the crazy people, and there'll be some guy back on a throne back there with people acting out, you know, YouTube videos with cheap makeup made from, you know, scavenged plastic.
And when it all gets to that point, you're gonna sit there and you're gonna think back and you're gonna go, if only I'd watched Zombie Strippers, I would know what to do.
And I could save my life.
Everybody
knows Peanut Butter Jelly Time, but no one knows that one.
As Porsche and Lexus chase you down the street as zombies.
I've out my last legs. I don't have much longer, but thank God I didn't watch that.
And they'll reenact it for you like a YouTube video, and that'll be your last spot sight will be. And now.
Flick it'll come out to me. JJ, I've got a way out. I've got a way out. Come with me. And he'll have some room set up with some generator. And it'll be playing zombie strippers. And then as I'm staring slack-jawed at it, unbelieving what I'm seeing, he'll just stab me in the back with something and I'll be dead. And
I made you watch it.
I win.
I think you'll be laying in the street and the zombie strippers will be getting closer and then the one will turn to the other and go, this is just like that scene in that zombie stripper movie. Tee-hee. As they come.
Are you Jay Lee?
Oh, maybe I'll become... What will happen is all the zombie strippers will worship me as their creator and lord, but then they'll ask me a question and I won't know the answer to, and I'll be discovered to be the fraud that I am.
They'll say, who was the third stripper bitten? You won't know.
Imposter! And then they don't kill you. No. It's way, way worse. They make you watch the movie.
Or make you be their stripper.
You.
On the pole, Lee.
I get why you're strippers, but I still can't figure out why you'd want to strip a zombie.
All right, 713-526-5738. We do have some calls in the queue, so we're going to go to the phone lines right now.
Create our own dystopia here live on the air.
All right.
With your calls.
All right, Groovehouse.
Yes.
Who do we have up first?
Up first on the show, we are going to speak with Blake.
Blake, you're on the air with Technology Bites.
Hi, guys.
Hi.
Hi. I had a question, actually, about Windows 8 versus Windows 7, because I'm avoiding Windows 8 like the plague right now. I just got an Asus laptop, notepad, whatever they're calling it, and it has Windows 8 on it, and I just can't stand it. It makes me log in with my email username and password through my Outlook account, which is used to be Hotmail. And it makes me use that as my username to log into my Windows 8 laptop.
Well, they have tied it to an email account, much in the way that the Apple devices like iPhones and iPads tie to it, and Android phones can tie to a Gmail account.
Right.
But you can bypass that. You don't have to log in with that account.
Yeah, it's just I'm such an Apple hater. I mean, I just can't stand the way that company's set up and all that. But is it safer virally? Like, do I have to worry about getting a virus through my email?
No, what I
was saying is you can bypass it so you don't have to use happyboy8803@hotmail.com to log into your computer.
How did you know that was my – never mind.
You can bypass that login if you want to use Windows 8. I mean, I don't think Windows 8 is as bad as everybody's saying.
But I mean, virus-wise, I mean, obviously Mac is a stronger system as far as virus protection, or they just don't hack it as much, whatever it is.
There are not as many in the wild exploits for the Mac OS, although the one that just got patched was a pretty big one.
Yeah.
It was like Apple doesn't have a lot of little penny any viruses running around. They have super serious exploits when they come up. It's like you don't realize how much your life was in danger.
Right.
So Apple's the shine's coming off the Apple in that regard a little bit, but it still really boils down to how you use your computer.
Well, and I'm a 3D animator, so I'm really skeptical about moving to Windows 8 because it's so graphics heavy, and I'm afraid that it's going to end up draining all of my RAM because
Windows
it's got all these
8
stupid
runs,
pop-ups and everything.
Windows 8 runs leaner and uses less system resources than Windows 7.
Doesn't it support a higher maximum RAM as well?
All business. So with 64-bit, you can, and if you've got a computer that supports it, you can go crazy with RAM. So 16,
okay.
32
Well,
gigs.
And maybe then because I stayed with Windows 7 Professional because I didn't know what was going to happen with 8. And now I've got this horrible thing where every time I turn my computer off, it's like update 1 of 172, and I just have to leave it. I can't stay at the office that long to wait for it to run off all those updates, but it's doing it every night, and it's always three-digit numbers that it's updating.
Really? For Windows 8 or Windows 7?
This is 7 Professional that I have on my actual tower.
Well, there are a lot of updates out there for 7, but you might be able to get around some of that if you go out and get the latest service pack and get some of the bigger ones. Do you know if it has, if it's at least Service Pack 1?
I just know that it's Windows 7. It's the only one that'll let me run 64 RAM.
No, but I'm wondering if it, I'm just wondering if it's missing a roll up. You know, if you keep it updated and you stay with it, you don't have 100 updates to apply. But after a few years, if you don't update it, then yeah, you're going to have hundreds of updates that need to be installed. And, but there could be a way around that where they do roll ups every now and then. A service pack will take all the hot fixes and all the patches up to Service Pack 1, kind of bundle them all together. So if you just ignore that, apply Service Pack 1, then you may reduce the number of updates that need to install, because they may be post, you know, there might be pre-Service Pack 1.
Okay, you, and those are available on Microsoft?
Huh?
Those are available on Microsoft.com?
Well, you go, you click Start, and then you type Windows Update.
Oh, no, they took all Windows 7 updates off of the website. You can't, you cannot update Windows 7 or do any service pack stuff. They're trying to push you to go to Windows 8.
That's not true.
Really?
I could tell you that's not true because...
Hallelujah. That's all I've been able to find is Windows 8, Windows 8, Windows 8.
It's because you're doing it wrong.
Okay.
The way it used to be with Windows XP, that you would go to a website, you'd go to windowsupdate.microsoft.com, and then you would apply your updates. In Windows 7, the way you apply updates is you just click Start, and you type Windows Update in the search box, and you hit Enter, and it runs Windows Update. Windows 7 has already got the updates. You just told me that it's got hundreds of updates that it wants to apply, so they're still there. It's trying to get them.
But it does that every night when I shut down. So there's no way that there's like 500 updates and it's been doing that all week.
Now, you said, you mentioned an office. Do you have an IT person that's supposed to support this stuff for you guys?
No.
Okay. Well, you're going to have to, now, do you let it run the updates and then you leave? Or do you just say, I don't have time, and you shut it down?
No, I leave it running the updates and just get out of there. And then the next morning I turn it on and it, you know, it boots up fine, so.
But then you shut it down the very next day, and it has hundreds more?
Correct.
There's a problem.
Okay.
You have a problem. You're going to have to make some time and sit with that computer and watch it go through the updates and see if, because it sounds to me like it must be failing if it's shutting down. I would run the updates without shutting down. You know, there's an option in Windows 7. If you tell Windows 7 to shut down and it has updates that have to be applied, it will apply those updates. But if you restart it, it doesn't apply the updates. But you could also run the updates where it doesn't shut the computer down, because you want to see if it's getting to some point and giving you any information. It might take you 30 minutes to an hour to let all those apply, but you're going to have to sit with it.
There'll be some afternoon where you're bored or you didn't really want to do anything anyway, so do that. And if anybody asks, you're fixing your computer.
Right on. Well, hey, thank you, guys. I really appreciate your show. It's awesome.
All right,
so,
well,
thank you so much.
Good luck. Thanks for your call.
All right, bye-bye.
Yeah, I was going to recommend Apple, because I just saw this week, I didn't want to put it on the news, but they are offering 128 gig memory packages for the Mac Pro. You know, but just in the random interest, I looked up to see how much it was. $2,200.
Worth of RAM?
For 4 32 gig sticks to put in your Mac Pro.
That's a pretty good deal.
For that much memory, that's a pretty good deal for
a computer like that. I mean, if you're talking about not having this, you know, if you're talking about saving $2,000 on a really nicely equipped lower end Mac Pro.
Well, this is it's the latest and greatest one.
No, I know, but I mean, don't they come in different configurations? I haven't looked at them yet.
Yeah, they go, there's like quad core through 12 core.
Yeah.
So, of course, I'm no closer to the base Mac Pro than I am to the 12 core with 128 gigs in it. So I figure if I'm going to fantasize about it, I'm going for the full-on big memory, you know, $12,000 version.
I always like to max out the machines just to see how ridiculous you can really get it up. You know, throw on SCSI, throw on, you know, all the support, throw on a tech to come out and, you know, haul
fiber
out.
Channels, yes, yes. Fiber channel NAS, rack mount NAS.
You can push 40K pretty quickly. Got a caller comment, it looks like, the Groovehouse took.
I am so happy that Pete is in the studio, said a caller.
Aw,
we're happy too. There was a black hole where Dwight used to sit. sucked all the joy out
of
the room.
Now it's a light hole.
It's still there.
It's
Pete's just sitting
kind
on
of
it.
Hole, but we'll leave it up to everybody to fill in their own imagining.
No, it was the threat of consequences that got him. Hey!
Whoa.
You can't keep a working phone on you to save your life.
I got a new phone, though. No, this is brand new. So
wait, is that is the it Firefox another phone?
No, this one's back to a Nexus.
It's a brand new phone. We're going to have to hang up on it. It's the red Nexus. Whoa.
It's the safety orange Nexus.
I don't quite know how to use it.
It's the high visibility jacket.
This is the one I waited. So I got the Firefox phone for 2 miserable weeks to get me through until this showed up. And this is, it's the same thing. It's the Nexus 5, but it's an, oh, please.
But it doesn't have a case.
It
needs a case.
It can't be quiet.
It's a special no silence.
It needs a clear case so you can see the orange. It needs an orange case so it can still be orange.
There we go. I'm just going to leave it like this.
No, you're not.
Yeah.
You're going to break it again.
I am. But, you know, probably if it rings one more time, I'm going to break it.
These phones, that Barrett owns phones, they don't stand a chance.
Although, however, I'm not going to lose this, and I doubt I'll leave it behind.
Is that default wallpaper?
No, I put that on there. I found it.
Okay.
Is it a Jay Lee photo?
I mean, I just got this. It's like I said, I haven't even like installed it to where it, you know, mutes between showtimes like I had it before.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah, well, just
alarms.
You
think it would have picked that up when you logged into the phone and set it up?
Some stuff it did.
He probably programmed it to go off so he could talk about it.
Yeah, that's what he did.
Look what I have in my pocket.
Oh, hey, look. Oh, I got this
Can
new
I use
phone.
Your...
Some things that were really cool. I mean, I have moved into other Google phones before, and this one, it actually updated it all the apps that I had installed on the previous Nexus 5. It actually pulled the wallpaper down, which was
excellent.
Nice. You know, once... And it did the other stuff before. Like, once I was associated with one access point, it pulled down all the other credentials for everything else.
What?
It's pretty nice. So really, you sign into Google once, and it gets just about everything else.
That's what I want.
But the wallpaper on the phone is what freaked me out, because it hadn't done that before. Like, it gets just about everything, but the fact that it updated my wallpaper and got my icons kind of on the same
killer.
Place, I was like, whoa. That's nice.
Can I have your Firefox phone?
It was going to be free to the first person that could catch it when I threw it off the top of my work building.
Oh, wow.
Tomorrow at noon. But if you want it, yeah, you can have it.
It might be faster than the phone I have right now.
Yeah,
so you weren't happy with the Firefox phone?
I was somewhat happy with it. I think it's still kind of a devy version. It's not like the straight-up Firefox OS 1.0. The coolest thing about it was that it was orange. I think the OS is probably okay. The issue was it was $60 hardware, $70 hardware.
Yeah.
You know, it's Chinese, you know, ZTE, you know, cheapish hardware. And it's just not quite there.
Yeah.
So, you know, give it a few more versions. I mean, Firefox, the web browser, is on like version 27. It's going to take the OS at least 10 versions to catch up and be halfway as awesome.
All right. Bear got a new phone. Should we start a pool to see how long it lasts?
The death pool? Death watch?
Do some squares or
death
something?
Death watch 2014.
I say there will be an issue with this phone before the Geek Gathering.
I'd give it a month.
Wow, I'm going to put
That's
this
a
back
long
in the pocket.
I go for at the Geek Gathering.
At the Geek Gathering.
Double points if it gets crushed under the blinking box.
I feel pretty good about my. I feel pretty good about my predictions because I did actually randomly drive up past Barrett on San Felipe while he was walking and I was driving. And I pulled up to the red light right after he had dropped his other new phone.
Shattered
it. And so Barrett had the great experience of dropping and breaking his phone, which he's kind of used to. But
you never get used to it.
Right after he did that and collected his phone, unbeknownst to me, I didn't know that had happened, but I saw Barrett. I said, "Hey, Barrett," and I honked my horn, and I went, and he's like, "You've got me."
They mock my pain.
It was me and Cynthia in the car.
That's where that ha-ha came from.
Like, Cynthia looked really happy that I dropped my phone.
We were happy to see you. We didn't know you dropped the phone. But that was pretty funny. All right, Groove House.
Yes.
I see we have calls in the queue.
Yes,
who's
we
up
do.
Next?
All right, up next on the show, we are going to speak with David.
David, you're on the air with Technology Bites.
Yes, sir. How are y'all doing?
Good. How are you?
Oh, pretty good. A couple weeks ago, I was listening, and I heard y'all talking about, was it J.D. or Jay Lee?
Yeah, Jay Lee.
Or his country brother, J.D.
Okay. You're saying that you're a photographer, and I got a question for you.
Okay.
I'm going to work for a property management company, and they have a little over 40 houses. And one of the things I'm going to be doing is I'm going to be going to each property and taking pictures, and I'm going to have each house, you know, like interior, exterior, yard, this, that, and the other, you know, have pictures of each property, and I'm going to buy a new computer. And my question is what would you suggest as far as, do I need something like some specific software installed for this, for these pictures? I'm also going to have a...
Well, let me ask, are you a photographer?
No. I mean, you know, like just with the phone or just little amateur photographer. I'm not no pro.
So they're going to hire you to take pictures of their properties?
No, I'm going to be in charge of maintenance.
Okay.
On these properties. And I'm going to go and take a picture as is on each property when I take over and say, this is the condition these houses are in when I took over. And I'm going to have all this on file. And they're going to give me an allowance for a computer. I'm going to buy a computer. So this is going to be a new computer. And I'm wondering, when I buy it, do I need to tell them, okay, I want this installed in there because I'm going to be taking these pictures. Is there a certain, like a picture software package?
There is photo editing software. Now, are you going to be buying a new camera for doing this, or is this all going to be on the iPhone or what?
I'm probably going to buy a camera, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Well,
are you looking for the software more to edit, or is it to like manage the photos?
Well, like I say, I'm gonna buy a new computer, and when I go into the store, I want to tell them, look, this is what I'm gonna do, just like I'm telling y'all.
Well, I will tell you this: you know, you are coming from a place, and I don't mean this as an insult, but you're coming from a place where you have an idea of what you want to do. But you have no idea how you're going to actually do it.
I'd be careful in the store when you tell them that.
So, yeah, so I would not put my fate in the hands of some flunky who sells you a computer. You can buy any computer you want. And you can go and then you can get software that, you know, and play with it to see, you know, most of the big programs offer trial downloads where you can take the software and see if it's going to suit your needs or not.
That's why I'm calling y'all, man, because I don't have any clue. This is just something I want to do.
I understand. You know? It's a big, big, big world you're going to go into. I mean, you can make it super complicated, and you can buy a very high-end camera, and you can use some very high-end software, or you can use a basic camera and use some basic software. But I would just get the computer and then get the camera. And the cameras usually come with... some software that's used to edit the pictures that it takes. So you might even just get away with that. But listen, we're out of time in this first hour, so I'm going to have to let you go. But if you want to email me or contact me via the website, you're welcome to do that, and I'll help you as I can.
Okay, ma'am.
All right, thanks for your call.
Appreciate it.
Sure. All right, you're listening to Technology Bites. We've got to take a short break here, do some station business. Because, you know, we're all about the business. Flickton's even writing on a piece of paper on a clipboard.
It's almost like clip art of somebody who's really, like, producing a show.
Yeah. This is like Flickton is posing for his resume. All right. Well, you're listening to Technology Bites. We're going to take that short break now and come back after these messages. I'm Jay Lee.
I'm Peter Hughes.
I'm Flickton.
I'm Barrett.
And he's...
Roofhouse.
Did you know you can find KPFT on the social networking sites Twitter and Facebook? You certainly can, and we'd love you to add us as a friend and get us connected with friends of yours. Join our fan page and check out a special video message from General Manager Dwayne Bradley, as well as keep up with KPFT programmers and staff. Visit facebook.com/KPFT Houston to join us. To follow us, visit twitter.com/KPFT. With both, you can link up with other KPFT listeners, get the latest news about the station, and find lots of extras. It's fun, so catch up with KPFT online. Again, on Twitter, visit twitter.com/KPFT. On Facebook, visit us at facebook.com/KPFT Houston. This is commercial-free, listener-sponsored Pacifica Radio, 90.1 KPFT Houston.
Pronto vendrá un pledge drive a KPFT y nosotros necesitamos su ayuda para hacerlo un suceso. Por favor, considere ser un voluntario para contestar nuestros teléfonos durante el programa de lenguaje en español. Usted contestará escuchadores como usted y ayudará esta comunidad de radio. En no más una hora o dos, usted puede ayudar a tomar donaciones. Su esfuerzo será la diferencia a poder ser esto un ambiente divertido. Personas interesadas en contestar teléfonos necesitan que ser disponibles los martes y sábados y ser bilingües en inglés y español. Usted será un voluntario en el estudio de KPFT en la 419 Lovett Boulevard. Para escribirse, contacte nuestra oficina de voluntarios al 713-526-4000 o mándenos un email a voluntier@kpft.org. Esto es KPFT Houston.
You're listening to 90.1 FM KPFT Houston.
Hey, Barrett, what's happening?
Oh, I don't know.
Well, room around town.
We interrupt this skit to bring you
Barrett time! Barrett time! Barrett time!
Yeah. That means it's time for
Barrett time!
Yeah. Anyway, take it away, Barrett.
All right. School may be out, but that doesn't mean you can't still sign up for classes in Houston. TXRX Labs, Houston's constantly growing hackerspace, is offering a lineup of workshops and classes over the next few months that will give you the skills to make something of your life. Actually, they'll just give you the skills to make something. The rest is up to you. But you'll be able to go forward with real-world skills as you battle to better your existence. And if you're one of those people who see a brighter future through robotic world domination, you may want to start amassing your army of drones now. Luckily, there's a class for that titled Build Your Own Quadcopter. This TXRX Labs offering will teach you everything you need to know to start building your own multicopters. Now, this is a hands-on class. By the end of it, you'll have built your own Arduino-based RC quadcopter. No programming experience is necessary. Some soldering experience would be helpful, but is not required. Registration will get you all the parts you need to build your own quadcopter, but you'll need to provide your own 6-plus channel RC transmitter and receiver, and preferably your own LiPo battery and army of evil henchmen. For those who do decide to enroll, please try to change up the color schemes of your henchmen's uniforms, maybe some pastels in anticipation of spring. As we all know, locating your own staff can be very difficult in a room full of red shirts. And of course, you may need more conventional implements with which to fight your secret war. Outfit your secret lair. I'm not talking about weapons here. So, now, every solid secret lair needs a bust of its mastermind sitting atop a grand piano or a pedestal. And TXRX's aluminum casting class will teach you all you need to know to make your own by using the basics of lost foam casting in aluminum. Each participant will produce their own design and cast it as part of the class. Topics covered include mold creation, melting, and pouring. Closed-toed shoes, long-sleeve shirts, and long pants are required. Secret layer and 3D scans of your body from the midriff up are not. And finally, you'll probably want some art to decorate the concrete and steel reinforced walls of your bunker. Mixed media art techniques will equip you to build an art piece for a small wall decoration or a piece of jewelry to include at least 5 pieces of flair. 5 different pieces of media. Additionally, the hackerspace isn't only for evil mastermind. Mice bent on world domination. It may be easier to think of it as a maker space until the meaning of the media's assigned to the word hacker starts to fade. So surf to www.txrxlabs.org for a full list of classes, schedules, and other upcoming events at Houston's own hackerspace. Now, of course, there are those of us who still have to work this week, regardless of whether or not our coworkers' kids are out of school. If you'd like to treat yourself to a change of venue, or maybe escape the throngs of teens now inhabiting your local coffee shop, or possibly even your home, you can head to the Houston Startup Digest to get some actual work done for free. Located just east of downtown, the workspace is a repurposed chain and belting workshop built in the 60s with ample Wi-Fi and table space to host you and your laptop between the hours of 10 and 5 every Thursday. I've actually written tens of thousands of lines of code there. though I was actually living there at the time. So surf to starthouston.com to find out about this free workday and also to explore their dress code. My guess is that you're probably going to want to wear pants. That's it for your spring break pointer on pants. That's that for Barrett time.
It's like a real show tonight. We've got Pete in the studio. There's Barrett time. Groove House is in good form. Flicted's laughing at my jokes.
JD, you slay me.
We're offending people.
Are we?
Well, maybe. Southern people. Zombie strippers, possibly. Surely someone out there has been offended tonight.
Jay Lee, not the one in the studio, but the other one.
Yes, I got a cease and desist letter from the director of Zombie Strippers.
Gotta stop saying your name.
Right, copyright infringement.
He's gonna DMCA you.
That did happen, the name thing. That was that restaurant in Houston.
Velvet Elvis?
No.
Or a different place?
That was one.
No, there was one where the restaurant was the guy's name. It was his last name, and he sold out to one of the big, was it Landry's? Maybe it was Landry. I can't remember, but basically the guy sold the restaurant, and of course when he sold his restaurants, he sold the name. And then basically it turned out that he could not use his name, his last name, in affiliation with any kind of restaurant whatsoever, even like listing that he was one of the owners. He couldn't use his actual name because he had signed away the rights to it.
I bet he got some money for it, though. I know there was a pub in Galveston that was fighting the good fight. They had a beer called Starbuck, so they were being sued by Starbucks and Shinerbach at the same time. They didn't win. I'm pretty sure they changed the name of the beer.
Sued by the Dallas Cowboys and Battlestar Galactica.
Oh, yeah, Starbucks, yeah.
How could they get sued by Shiner?
The labeling maybe it shouldn't have been yellow with some ram's horns and some. I mean, he borrowed.
Yeah, but ram's horns. That's a Bach. That is a Bach. Yeah,
it's
tradition.
Okay. They came out with their new Microsoft Apple cider.
Well, I don't think anyone in Bavaria in the 1600s had the foresight to trademark that. So you know, Shiner might have got to it first.
Well, but like Ziegenbach, I think has a ram.
Yeah.
I mean, the ram is a common. It's a familiar for Bach.
I wouldn't have sued him.
I could see Starbucks suing him, though.
All right. Don't sue me, bro. 713-526-5738 if you want to be on the air with us. I'm sorry I had to cut that photography call short. If you're still listening, you know, when it comes to editing photos, it really depends on, you know, when you're getting into photography, you have to decide how you want to manage and catalog your photos, as well as how you want to edit them, how you're going to crop them, how you're going to, you know, sharpen them or.
You're starting out, if you edit them too much, you may take away what it was you were trying to capture.
Well, I'm curious too. He said he was doing maintenance stuff for a school. If he wasn't more about trying to catalog everything and, you know, be able to catalog and say, okay, this is the state that this piece of equipment was in at this time. This is what the grounds looked like at this time, versus like shopping and saying, I shopped the mowed lawn. Yeah, that now mowed the lawn or I now fix this. I think it's probably more cataloging. So maybe even like an online, I don't know if school systems can put files online, but maybe something like a Picasa or something.
Well, if he's doing it for himself, I think he said he was doing it for himself, but
I think he was trying to get insurance that when somebody came to him and said, look, this is all put up at a bad angle, he could go, oh no, you don't got me on that one. Look here, I took a picture of this 4 months ago, and this is exactly what it looked like. I did not do that, and it was already like that.
So probably being able to tag it with keyword searches and dates and things like that would be an important feature.
Maybe. But I don't know.
Probably doing tagging, yeah, just so you could get the name of the location or the room number or whatever it is he was trying to. So he doesn't have to search through 5,000 pictures to try to find that one picture of that one place.
Get it back. Use iPhoto. Comes with it. Works great. Catalogs it all by date. All right, 713-526-5738 if you want to be on the air with us tonight. We got another hour left in the show this evening, and we're happy to have your calls here on Technology Bites. Groove House.
Yes.
Who do we have up next?
Up next, we're going to speak with Gary.
Gary, you're on the air with Technology Bites.
Hey, guys, I got a funny story. But first, don't you remember when McDonald's, our McDonald's, sued a little pub in Scotland because they had the name McDonald's and overlooked the fact that they had been there about 100 years. You remember that story?
I heard that story, yeah.
But listen, you were talking about the apocalypse, the end times, and all the people, the preppers. I wanted to tell you a funny story. I got a buddy up in New York, and he's a gadget freak, and he has a Kindle, and he's got an Android smartphone. He just went and bought a notepad, and he's totally into solar. And he's got a solar panel on his truck to run his tools. He's got solar panels on his house. And he's telling me, and we were talking about, you know, the potential of the grid failing or a solar flare. And he says, well, it doesn't matter. I can still charge my phones, and no matter what happens, I've got total solar. And I said, yeah, well, good, your phone's working now. Who are you going to call? Now, one last thing. A couple of months ago, a guy called in, and his name was Joe, and you guys were calling him the Prospector, and he said that he was working on his computer, and the do-jobber wouldn't interface with the whatchamacallit, and it was freewheeling before the who's it connected to the widget. You remember that call?
That's all of our calls.
Okay, well, that's what I'm saying. I am Joe, true confessions, full disclosure, and that was the funniest thing I've ever heard, and I said it myself. And you guys ought to track that down and use it for the intro to your show, because I made
What's
the whole
wrong with
thing
the intro
up,
but, we have now?
But what I'm saying is it's really reflects a lot of your callers. And if you listen to it, you'll get the humor. And I thought you guys would want to use it, so I give you permission. Goodbye.
Bye now. All right. Now, Gary's kind of gotten on a kick where he likes to call in several times in the show. He's used up his allotment, Groove House.
Okay. Okay. Says Jay. So says Jay. So
says you.
Groove House is always good cop.
Good cop and pushover cop.
All is rolled up into one.
Yeah, you can be on the air.
Yeah.
You made me laugh.
Anything to get you out of the phone and talking to me.
You kind of sound like the Cowardly Lion.
Just need some courage.
713-526-5738 so you can talk to the Cowardly Lion. Just say, hey, man, do the voice.
Put him up. Put him up. Come on, put him up.
All right, Groove House.
Yes. He's got a million of them.
Yeah.
His ego is really good.
Listen to the show on the phone.
Heavens to Megatron.
When you hear your name, you'll be on the air.
Who was the cartoon that said that? What was the cartoon lion? Snagglepuss.
Snagglepuss. Yeah. Yes.
Exit stage right.
I should have taken that left turn at Albuquerque.
That's Bugs Bunny.
Yep. Good for you. Cartoons. He does his cartoons. Groove House, give us a call. Hello?
713-52... Oh.
Shut up, shutting up.
Grab it.
Duck season!
And I will name him George.
Just be very, very quiet.
And I will hold him and squeeze him.
Hunting Where's rabbits. My cadet? Where's my explosive boom?
The Illudium Pew 36.
That was a nice diversion.
Bring us the next caller, please.
Okay.
Kermit the Frog here. We're on the air with Technology Bites.
Up next, we're going to speak with Ron.
Ron, you're on the air with Technology Bites.
Yeah, hello there.
Hello.
I've got a question that's probably worthless, too. But anyway, iPod Touch, what's the best way to utilize its capabilities? What do you need to have it to hook it up to everything?
Headphones. A new one? Like
a new 32 gigabyte, whatever.
Do you have one?
Two of them. I don't have it in front of me. My son and my daughter have it, and my son's complaining about the connectivity of it.
Well, the iPod Touch is not like an iPhone where it has an always-on data connection, so it has to be like in your house or in a place that has public Wi-Fi if you want to do stuff that's online.
Okay.
So you want to make sure you have a good, a decent router, Wi-Fi router for your internet.
Okay, so you have to actually have a router in your home or be near one.
Right, you have to have one, be near one that you have access to.
But you don't necessarily have to have your own Gmail or email account.
You don't have to have any of that, no. I mean, it's nice if you're using, if you're wanting to use it to check your email. You, if you have an email account, you can configure that, but you don't have to have one. If you want to browse the web, as long as you're within reach of a Wi-Fi access point that you have access to, so something. Do you have internet at home?
No, actually, I don't have a router at home or any of that. What we have is neighbors that are computer geeks just like you. And they have a pretty dead, a very strong router to where actually we can access it whenever they have it on.
And they don't mind?
No.
All right, so you just need to, you can connect the iPod Touches via Wi-Fi to that router.
Mm-hmm.
And you'll get internet access.
Okay, so other than that, short of that, I need to just buy them another a computer with a router.
No, you need,
you don't even need a computer.
You just need to consider maybe getting, I mean, if that's accessible to you and it's reliable and they don't mind you using it, you're fine. But if you want to have reliable internet that covers your house that's yours, you can buy internet access and have that connected to a router.
Like Comcast or something
exactly.
like that.
Exactly. Yeah,
the bad word that I hate.
Comcast or AT&T or something like that where you have a router in your home and you have a Wi-Fi access point. They provide one with the service.
Mm-hmm.
And you can connect all your computers and stuff to it. But if, like I said, if you've already got access to your neighbors and they don't mind you using it, then keep going that way.
Okay, well, that's, you know, because I just hate to see them have new toys and they can't play. And,
well,
by
without
the way, what was that called again? The movie y'all were talking about? The cat fight on the stage between stripper zombies? That was the greatest.
I didn't know there was a cat
I'm
fight.
I'm so sorry, but it was. It made my wife mad, and it made me laugh my ass. Anyway, well, thank you so much.
All right, good luck. Thanks for your call.
Bye.
Bye.
Let's see, Afflicted has seen it, so was he talking about the same movie?
I can't believe there was a cat fight. There were strippers.
There was definitely a fight.
It was an undead cat fight.
Yeah.
No spoilers, please.
Do you want to see it? I've got it in the car.
No.
You haven't had the nerve to bring it in
I
the house yet?
I can't watch it because I don't have a DVD player on my MacBook.
There are a number of things that I've never seen on the internet, and I pride myself on them. I know I've never managed to peer into the Goatsy site. I've never seen anything involving cups, and I hope never to see zombie strippers.
What about?
Have you been Rickrolled?
Tub Girl.
I've have, yeah.
I was gonna say,
no, I haven't seen that either. I don't know. I think I know what that's about, but I haven't
Lemon
seen
Party?
It. No.
Oh. How is it you've never seen Goatsy?
Yeah, that one I've seen.
I've seen it out of the
not
corner
by
of my
choice.
Eye. I know what it is, but everyone was talking about it before. Like everyone was saying, "Have you seen this? Have you seen this?" Like, no, I don't want to see that.
I mean, I found
it. It became a matter of pride.
Yeah,
in
but
seeing
but
it,
I've run
that's
across
the original
like,
Rickroll.
People posted it into forums, and you're just scrolling through, and it's like, dude, whoa! It's too late. You've seen it.
Once you have, then you see all the other things that look like it. logos.
There was a time. I mean, before it was really like a full-blown meme that it is today, you could, if you were really, like, really searching the internet for something, like you were willing to go through 20 pages of search results and keep going, looking for something.
That was always at the end.
You would run into Goatsy. You would encounter it, like, just why, what is this I'm even looking at?
It was the end of the internet.
I've seen like the top inch of the frame, but I know what color to stop looking for, and that's when I'd stop. I can only imagine.
It's just weird. I mean, there's so much just generic junk out there. You can go 30 pages into an internet search, and all you really end up with is at a Russian site or something. But before there was as many websites as there are now, our content scrapers, there was some really weird stuff if you kept going. The people tagging and connecting themselves to valid search results with some of the most bizarre things. Just, ugh. All right, 713-526-5738. And now I feel like, I tell you what, I'll watch Zombie Strippers if you can get him to watch Tub Girl, Lemon Party, and Goatsy.
Oh,
two girls,
okay.
One cup.
Not going to happen. No. Oh. Now, what you've just done is I can never, ever again read another email from Flicted.
Oh, it's not going
to
come from Flicted.
I'm going to have to
block him. No, it's what's your boss's
you
name?
It's going to come from your mom.
Oh. got a mom too now. Let's not bring them.
She's more online. Both of y'all's moms are online. My mother was online when she was alive, but thank God she's dead. She didn't have to see this. Zombie strippers or whatever Flick is up to. All right, 713-526-5738. And if you want to be on the air tonight and distract us from ourselves, 713-526-KPFT. Groovehouse.
Yes.
Who's up?
Up next, we are going to speak with Charles.
Charles, you're on the air with Technology Bites.
Yeah, hi, how y'all doing? Hey, my wife has a Nexus 7, and it just shut down. I mean, it just broke. I mean, it stopped working whatsoever. And we took it to a shop, and they decided to try different things. We actually bought a battery. We Googled it, how to change it, so we changed the battery ourselves. Then when we took it to the store, we took the battery with us, and they said, well, it's not the battery. He said, yeah, no joke, because we tried that. And then they said, well, it's probably the board. I think I spent about like $180 for it. We can put a new board in there for like $150. I was like, I can get a new one for that.
Is this the very first generation of Nexus 7, or is this like the second gen that's a little
bit
thinner?
The first one.
So it's the first one?
Yeah.
Did it just stop powering up altogether?
Yeah, it started slowing down. It took a long time to charge up, more than normal. Then all of a sudden, it just stopped working whatsoever.
Okay, so it wasn't like you would just never get past that boot screen. It just physically won't take a charge.
Yeah, black screen.
And if you've left it on the charger for like a day or two, you know, without trying to boot it up just to see if it, trickle charges and comes back to life.
Correct. And I bought a new power cord and everything. Made me thinking it was a cord.
How long ago did you guys buy this?
About a year, not last Christmas, the Christmas before that.
Okay, so it's out of warranty then.
Yeah, about 3 months out of warranty.
I mean, I've had both. I had the first generation, and then mine died. It just, it's kind of the same thing. I think just, way too many power cycles and, just a hard life. And but I was looking at kind of the same thing, and I went ahead and got the second version, and it's a lot thinner. It's a lot faster.
Yeah, the same
part
is...
And the display is so much nicer, and looking at 150 repair versus, you step up $20 more, you can get a new one. It's kind of hard to say do the repair.
But see, I'm kind of gun-shy on Nexus 7s now, because I'm thinking maybe I should look at some other tablet,
Look around. I mean, go get your hands on stuff. But I will say that if you're going to go Android, it kind of falls into two camps at this point. You're kind of, three. You can look at, Windows tablets. You can look at, the iOS version. So you've got all your iPads. Or Android, I would say go with the Nexus. Because all the other 7-inch pads I've seen out there, they're all kind of, outdone by the new Nexus 7.
For right. less money, often, is the thing. I have a Nexus 7 also. And, the positives for you, just to try and hopefully make it better when you have to go spend the money, to replace this that should have kept working for you.
Right.
The screen, it's got a Retina-type display, so it's got a really nice, solid screen that has a lot more pixels than what yours does now.
Better battery life on the newer
one. I'm sold on the Nexus brand, far as the performance and what it gives you. I'm just kind of I just spent all this money on this thing. It barely lasted over a year.
Yeah.
Did she use it quite a bit, or do you guys use it quite a bit?
But she did. Yeah, she was always playing games, reading, browsing the internet, that kind of thing.
I haven't had mine the more than a year thing, but I've had it quite a while, and I've not had any kind of issues like that with it. And from what I've read, the build quality was supposed to be a lot better on the second generation Nexus
7. Well, if I do buy another one, I'm going to get a warranty, extended warranty.
Yeah, that's what I was going to suggest. See how much the warranties are. I mean, the downside is some of these, some of the warranties will be like $99. If you're for something that's $200, that might be a bad deal. But if it's just like $20 or $30, if it's like, 15 or 20% of the product over a couple of years, it might be worth it to do that just to protect against battery loss or just to protect against some of those
things. Figured into the total cost. I do know that in seeing like deal sites, that Staples lately has had a lot of deals where you can get that Nexus 7 for where you can save and get it for under a couple hundred dollars. The retail's $229, I believe.
Right.
And I've seen, you can get it down to $200 or less, depending on what kind of sale or deal they're offering. And like I said, so far I know Staples has done it, and I think they offer a warranty, so you can see what sort of the total price is.
Well, I've seen these other tablets, and they run into Android also.
The fact that your device failed is just indicative of the fact that you either got a bad device or it was not treated well. I've seen plenty of Android devices of all kinds. I've got one of the original Galaxy S phones. It's still going.
Yeah, but she babies it. I mean, she bought...
Right, but it could also be just bad hardware. I mean, yeah. It happens.
Yeah.
It so could have been plugged in when there was a lightning strike nearby and that fried
it. Could be anything. You can't... And, you know, some people... I believe this. Some people are cursed when it comes to technology. Yeah. They just...
Really, Barrett?
I mean, you know, huh? She's one of those types that if it's lightning, she's going to unplug it.
Right.
You know, if she, you know, when she's wipes it down and all that kind of thing.
Well, whatever happened... It's not. I would not necessarily blame it because it was a Google device. I wouldn't blame it because it was a Android device or anything. It's just bad hardware. It happens.
Right.
And that's not to say that it won't happen again. But I've watched people that are truly cursed that will switch. You know, they'll buy a Dell computer and then it'll go bad. And they say, to heck with this. I'm going to buy an HP. I'll buy an HP. The HP goes to hell.
Apple,
I mean, it goes like the car thing. You buy a Chevy, you get a lemon, and you swear off Chevys.
Right.
Which is not really correct.
Right. So it's exactly right. You probably got a lemon. You more than likely got a lemon.
The difference in the thing we would tell you is if we'd heard a lot of things where that problem was like a common, everybody and their brother has it with a Nexus, then that would be a sign that the hardware was just generally shoddy, and we haven't really heard that.
Okay. Okay, I mean, what do you think about the Nook and the Fire and all that kind of thing?
The Kindle Fire is getting a lot of great reviews in terms of being a nice tablet device and a reading device.
Amazon's not going to go anywhere.
If your wife's used to Android and the interface and how it all works, then I think doesn't the Fire has kind of its own kind of custom interface?
So it's Androidy. You can't load as many apps on it as you could just a stock Android
tablet.
Yeah,
I know the proprietary.
The nice
version,
thing though is if you guys have like Amazon Prime or anything that lets you stream all the content, you can stream that directly to the Fire. Whereas Amazon makes it kind of tough to do that to just the straight unlocked Android tablets.
Yeah. Well, it looks like I might just go back with the Nexus, and like I said, get an extended warranty in that.
Go get your hands on the new ones. Y'all go to the stores and see if you can't get your hands on one of the new 7-inch, you know, the Nexus 7s, and see if you don't like it more. And just, you know, get the warranty.
Yeah, I mean, you know, that seems cool. I mean, you know, because, I mean, thinner didn't really matter to me. And, you know, I mean, as long as performance-wise, it's basically the same.
Faster.
Yeah, faster. It'd be great. Okay, well, let me look into that then. Hey, I appreciate it.
All right, good luck. Thanks for your call.
All right, thanks.
All right, all of our phone lines are used up. We've got all of our calls are used up. We've got all open phone lines. If you want to be on the air, we've got about 30 minutes left in the show, 713-526-5738. Now I'm going to make a big mistake and ask Groovehouse, what's so funny?
Lemon party.
Yeah, it's funny, but
he's going to send you a URL so you can see what he thinks is so funny.
We're on Imgur.
Ah.
Just clicking through.
Laughing at pictures. Funny pictures.
Goatsy.
All right, see, that worked out okay.
Not searching Goatsy, not checking out the Lemon Party, just hanging out on Imgur.
I'm curious as to what Lemon Party is, but I'm not going to go search.
Go for it.
I'm guessing it doesn't involve cleaning products.
You can just find a Wikipedia article on it.
Yeah, you could search Wiki, you know.
Is that the safe way to go?
It is a safe way to go. And turn off images.
Just make sure you have safe search for your images.
Yeah. That's how I avoided a lot of this stuff early on, is that I was using Linux and builds that I didn't really have a nice graphical desktop where I wasn't loading, you know, every single image. And
wouldn't it be weird if he saw one of these and decided that he really liked it?
Hey guys,
we never saw him again.
I'm making a life change.
Kind of like what we expected might happen to us if any of us watched My Little Pony.
The brony.
That's what I was scared was going to happen to me, but it didn't.
No. I same camp. I wanted to like it, and I didn't like it as much as I thought I was. So I was like, oh, okay.
I didn't want to like it, but I was scared I was going to like it, but then I didn't. So.
You know, the other one that's a no-brainer that you can watch and you'll like? Adventure Time. If you want to see weird animation.
I watched one episode of that.
With odd stories. If you watch a couple episodes of that, you'll probably be hooked. It is... And some of them are just weird. You kind of go, where are they going with this? And that doesn't usually happen on a cartoon that you can watch with your kids.
Yes, Wikipedia has enlightened me. That's not what I thought it would have been.
Well, you know, the listener was calling about sort of Nexus tablets and all that. But one thing that I did this week, I'm considering getting, you know, I have a Nexus 7 and that's nice, but I would like to get something that has the LTE, you know, fourth gen, you know, 4G internet because that's gotten fairly cheap and works well on those devices. So I'm looking, of course, at the iPad mini with the Retina display or the iPad Air. And the thing that was interesting to me, at least in the store, and I got to be careful, I'm of an age where if I have a device that's got the small screen, then I have to do the reading glasses thing because it's just like paper if I hold it at the right distance. The thing that struck me, the iPad mini with the Retina display, I had to hold, I looked at it and I would need to wear reading glasses again. With the iPad Air, and maybe I just wasn't I'll have to check before I make a final decision, but it actually was clear enough that I could read it holding it at a normal distance without needing, like, reading glasses. And so you kind of wonder what, it's like the Pixel stuff is not that different, but I think maybe it's the smaller size with the iPad mini with Retina. But, my idea is I wanted the mini. I like the smaller. I liked the Air as a concept from the beginning, and I've got an Air, and the Nexus 7 is a nice small size. I guess I could do the Nexus 7 with the LTE, but I think I'd like the bigger screen that you get with the iPad, and I am kind of like an all Apple. I'm in the Apple environment, so my stuff, I like where my bookmarks share across.
All in one house.
It all works. The deal, all the bookmarks and email accounts and all that stuff, that all my other stuff's Apple, so it shares that. If I set up a new computer and I put my Apple ID in it, then I got, I have all my bookmarks, I have everything, and it stays current, where now the Nexus is kind of the odd man out, which is, it's been fine, and I like using it, but... I would love the LTE thing, and it was just odd. It just struck me because I didn't think there'd be that big a difference for me between the mini with the Retina display and the full size with the Retina display, and it actually seemed like it was a better reading platform.
All right, Groovehouse, I see you got some calls queued up for us.
Yes.
Who's up next?
Up next in the show, we are going to speak with Gary.
Gary, you're on the air with Technology Bytes.
Hey, guys, how are you?
Good.
I got a question. I have an Android phone, and it seems like some of the pictures are local, and then other pictures are either going to Picasa or uploaded to Picasa. How do I delete those? Because it doesn't seem like it can delete them locally off the phone.
You want to delete the pictures that have gone to Picasa?
Yes.
So you want to keep them in Picasa, but you want to get them off your phone?
I don't believe I've ever signed up, but Google. I mean, you sign up once and you're in.
Google bought Picasa, so you could have like a setting on your camera to where it just automatically uploads the pictures. You're going to have to delete them from Picasa. So you can either download the app, Picasa for Android, or you can actually, go log into your Google account, and then you should just be able to go over to Picasa without having to log in again. They should be there. But there should be a setting, more or less, in on the camera that says, like, hey, when I'm on Wi-Fi, upload any pictures I take to, for instance, Dropbox, Picasa, Google Plus. So it should be in there. That's
but if you want to delete the photos from the phone, one of the easier ways to do that would, you can mount the phone on your computer and browse the file system and go to the DCIM folder. And find the images in there and delete them. Just drag them out, drop them in the trash. One way to do it. Otherwise, there should be some kind of photo manager.
Yeah, in the gallery. So if you just like hit your camera button and then scroll over, you can see all the cameras, all the photos. And then you can actually scrunch them down and do multiple selects and say, hey, I want to delete this whole range. Or, there's a whole way. There are a number of ways you can attack it.
All right. Hey, I'd like to say, too, I love your show. I listen to you guys. I get all kinds of interesting tidbits.
Well, good. Thanks for saying so. I'm glad to hear that.
All right. Thank you.
Bye-bye. All right.
I bet he was talking about Lemon Party and Tinder. Right.
If you want to know what those things are, I encourage you to go to the Wikipedia site and
read about them.
And search for the term shock site on Wikipedia, and it will tell you about all those sites. It links to them, surprisingly.
Wow.
Well,
I wouldn't actually go to any of these sites. You need to know what you're getting into.
I would never actually go look at them. I would not recommend you go look for them. But if you want to know what they're about or know what we're talking about, they're shock sites. They're a thing that exists on the internet. And they're, a lot of times when people want to punish other people on the internet or just tease them or give them a hard time, they might send them a link to one of these shock sites. And then it's filled with disturbing
If you've ever gotten Rickrolled or what Rickrolling is, Rickrolling is kind of like the kind of like the G version.
You can Rickroll your grandmother. Thing. That's yeah. fine.
Yeah, but you might not want to send her to
Don't do this scene. To her, please. Yeah. All right. Groove House.
I looked yes. it up on Wikipedia, and Lemon Party, it's about the Lemon Party of Canada, a frivolous Canadian party. Actually, above it on Wikipedia, it says, this article is about the political party for the Shock Site. See Shock Site Pound Lemon Party. But the leader of the Lemon Party of Canada is Pope Terence the First, so it can't
well, like, we've got to get a different name now. This internet has totally messed up our political platform.
All right. Groove House.
Yes.
Who's up next?
Up next, we are going to speak with Jimmy.
Jimmy, you're on the air with Technology Bites.
How you doing? Love the show.
Thank you.
I'm about to move into a new house that is significantly larger than the house I have, and my wireless router is pretty much antiquated. I've had it about 4 or 5 years.
Yeah.
I was wondering if you guys had any suggestions on what kind, what like what size, what I don't know anything about them. I need a wireless router that's going to reach all corners of a 3,200 square foot house.
Can't guarantee that any router will do that, but your best bet is to get a dual band.
Okay.
The dual band has a little bit more reach, wireless in at the very least. I know there's a new wireless standard out there.
AC is good if you can afford it.
There's
it,
a little more expensive. Good. You may not be able to completely take advantage of the Wi-Fi speeds on it, but it probably has good reach. But I would look at something from Linksys. Mm-hmm. And look at one of their dual band. I got a dual band router, got about a 2,800 square foot house. I've got the router in the center of the house. Pretty much every room is covered.
Netgear
what if it's it's a two-story house, so does it matter if it's on the first floor, second floor?
It just really depends on the construction of the house.
Okay.
What kind of mobile phone do you have? Do you have an iPhone or an Android?
I'm Android.
Okay, there's a free application out there. I think it's just called Wi-Fi Scanner. You just go to the app, and you go to the Google Play, search for Wi-Fi scanner, and what you can do is you can power it up, turn on Wi-Fi, and it will show you like the signal strength of all the different access points around. And what you can do is you can actually try placing it in different rooms. You can place it on the second floor, and then walk around to all the rooms and see what the signal looks like in all the rooms. And if there's one room that's not doing too well, you can actually try a different placement. It's a lot faster than actually going by trial and error, booting up laptops and walking around. You can do a full site survey in just a few minutes.
Sweet.
Keep your old router.
Let's say the antenna.
Have two of them.
The antenna location and direction can affect that because some of the original antenna designs just did 360 every direction, and so they were shooting it down. If you had it low to the ground, it just shot it into the floor, which nobody was going to use. It wasn't going to help anybody.
But if you had it on the second floor.
So if you put it on the second floor upside down, if you got one of the ones that actually doesn't shoot into the floor, if you put it on the second floor upside down, it actually shoots. It doesn't shoot up into your attic or up above your house. It actually goes from the roof down into the rooms.
So get one of the ones that definitely has more than one antenna, like Jay was talking about, with multiple radios in there. And then, like Flicta was saying, if you don't get the results you're seeing, sometimes just rotating the thing 90 degrees or along any axis will actually dramatically affect the results. So it's right. best
now,
to have people
is
doing
Is this
it.
A house that's already built, I take it?
It is a house that's already built, yeah.
New or old?
It's it's actually an old house that had a fire that was ripped down to the studs and reconstructed in the last year.
Okay, yeah, you're good then. There are some houses that were built in the 70s that used something that looked a little bit like chicken wire before they put on stucco, and that actually makes a great big Faraday cage.
Yeah.
And
just basically blocks all
blocks
signal.
Everything. So if you've got new walls in there, you should be fine.
Yeah, right, it's too bad cool. they didn't lay out Ethernet for you.
Yeah.
All right, thanks, guys.
All right, fine. Thanks
yeah,
for your
have
call.
Fun.
All right.
Yeah, running back everything to like a central closet in a house that's really nice. Like to have structured cabling.
Yeah, and then you could hook up an access point in whatever room you want to do it in.
Someday I would like to build a house and that would be part of the plan.
I mean, nowadays. It was really cool probably 10 years ago when people still used phones that were plugged into the wall because you could just have a pair of Cat 5 connections on every wall in every room, and then if you wanted to move your desk from one wall to the other, you just went into the closet and reconnected with jumper, with patch cables where the phone went to and where your internet connection went to. If you wanted to switch rooms with somebody, you had a business line, phone line, you just went into the closet and flipped where the cables were, and it was really nice. But
But yeah, no, everybody uses cell phones pretty much now. So some of that, and a lot of people have gone to wireless. So some of that's kind of lost.
But a lot of the new houses I've seen, because I've got friends that are building new stuff, it seems like all of them have little bitty small wiring closets now. So even though you might not know what it does, chances are if you go like to the master bedroom or you go downstairs in one of the closets, there's probably a hole in the wall with a little cabinet with, you know, about 10 or 20 wires coming out. So I like that trend.
I like when stuff is easy to use and it works. More so now than ever. All right, 713-526-5738. We got about 20 minutes left in the show, so we got time to take a few more phone calls at the very least. If you'd like to be on the air, dial us up at 713-526-KPFT. Groove House.
Yes.
Who do we have up next?
Up next, we are going to speak with Anthony.
Anthony, you're on the air with Technology Bites.
Hey, guys. How y'all doing?
Good.
Listen, I had an old compact laptop, probably, no matter of fact, if you look back, it's probably 3-4 years old. So that technology is kind of outdated because, you know, computer technology and laptop technology move kind of fast. But there's a lot of laptops out there that are geared for entertaining, and I want to... new laptop that's geared toward business. What can you tell me about some of the products out there now and what they do? And I don't want one too thin because I still like to use disks and things of that nature.
Well, what I would recommend, you know, when you say using a computer for business or versus entertainment, for business, obviously you need a little bit less computer in terms of processing power, memory, and storage because you're sending and receiving email, working on documents and that sort of thing. You're not playing games on it. You're not running high-end memory-intensive, processor-intensive applications. I beg to differ on the 3-year-old laptop being out of date, though.
Yeah, but it doesn't work right.
What is
it? I've had a problem with it and taken to get fixed twice, and it still does, like, shut down in the middle of processing, things of that nature. I'm
kind
of dealing with that.
Okay, I got you. All right. So, yeah, I mean, if you're looking for a new computer, I would go to, like, Fry's or Micro Center or even Best Buy and take a look at what they have to offer. And look at the different sizes. Put your hands on the keyboards. See what you think about them. If I was going to buy a new laptop today, personally, I wouldn't get anything with less than half, 500 gig hard drive. And 8 gigs of RAM.
Okay. Preference between Apple and regular Dells or Compact or whatever?
Well, they're two different operating systems. Apple runs its own operating system, and the Dells and HPs, they all run the Windows operating system or the Microsoft operating system.
There's not any big drama between the two of them. There's not one that's like, other than if you're talking about using it for business and your business has all their software as Windows software, then obviously
a Mac is not in the is
not
a good choice.
As good an idea for you. If it doesn't matter if you're mostly doing cloud or things
on the
web. Microsoft Office, you can get that for any number of platforms now. So nothing forces you in one direction or the other. If nothing forces you in one direction or the other. They're all fairly similar. And when you get to the same feature levels, they generally are the same price as far as when, but it may be subtle for you between an Apple and a PC as far as what knowing the differences that the Apple has, which is on some of them where if you find like a $700 PC laptop versus a $1,200 Mac laptop, they're not really comparing the same. You're not comparing the same hardware then.
Okay, I understand that part. I don't really want to spend more than like $400 initially because I wouldn't understand all the features and the power and the fancy stuff that a $600, $700, $800, $900 laptop would do.
You can find some refurbished, fairly current
laptops. You don't
even
have to go refurbished.
Really? Brand new.
Brand new, $400. The thing is that the difference between a $400 laptop and a $2,000 laptop in terms of how to use it, there's not much difference. It's just that the more expensive one's going to do it faster and more of it than the cheaper one.
And it's going to get to where it gets too slow and where you want to replace it. It'll take longer, not necessarily five times longer, but it will take longer before you're unsatisfied with the speed of the more expensive one versus the $400
But if
one.
Cost is a consideration, you can certainly get away with about, you know, there's laptops that run in the $300 to $400 range that are brand new that are going to just be fine for what you're talking about. It's just, I have never met anybody who's ever regretted buying more computer than they need. I've only met people who've bought less computers.
No, this thing is way too fast. I don't like it at all.
No, I can't have that Mac Pro. There's too much memory in it.
Yeah, so I set yourself a budget, which it sounds like you have. You know, figure out what, and then go and look and see what is offered in that price range. What you're going to be trading off on with any laptop is the size of the screen and the size and weight thinness of the overall computer. The thinner, lighter it is, the more expensive it's going to be. So if you're willing to have it kind of spread out a little bit, have a little heft to it, you'll get more computer for your buck. But you pay for more for less because portability is what people seem to really want. So an ultra-thin laptop is going to cost, you know, half again as much as an equally qualified piece of hardware that's not ultra-thin.
Yeah, I would rather have one that I could do more manual or not so current stuff with because I'm not some tech-savvy super guy who can make a thin computer do wizard stuff. You know, I'd like to have a computer that
the
would
only reason you buy a thin computer is because you don't want the weight.
Yeah.
That's and the only reason you buy it. It's not that it does more. It might, in fact, probably does less than a fatter computer because an ultra-thin may not have a CD drive. There are trade-offs.
Any brand that...
No, I don't... They're
like
all
versus the Hewlett-Packard.
I can't. I honestly, I don't give that kind of advice. That's you know, I could tell you that HP is better than Dell, and you could go buy an HP, and it could be a piece of junk.
There's more difference. There's what's the best way to put it? The differences don't go by brand. You could get a model from a particular company, and have that particular model might have issues that their other models don't.
Go get your hands on some. I mean, there are a few different stores where you can go see three or four different brands all next to each other, and you might make the decision based on like how the screen looks or how the keyboard's laid out, or you know.
Yeah, because really, what you have to do is you have to pick the computer up. You have to see if you like the way it feels. Does it feel good on your hands? Is the keyboard laid out nice? Does it have the features that you want? And then, just you know, if you can justify it, buy the extended warranty and just buy it from a company that's going to stand behind you. So if you buy it from a Best Buy or Fry's or Micro Center, you're going to have that storefront stand behind it. Plus it's going to be a name brand and the manufacturer is going to stand behind it. But then buy yourself some cushion if you can afford it. I have, you know, my laptop, it's a great, well-regarded laptop, but I've had $1,000 in repairs on it since I got it. Just was
wow.
It was one of those deals. So the warranty covered all of it.
Yeah, but that's okay. Well,
but, so it happens. So there's no magic bullet. There's not a computer out there I can say you go buy it and I guarantee your happiness. I'm very much against giving consumer advice. I'm very much about you as the person who wants to buy a computer. Go let the people who sell computers talk to you about the features
and
what you have.
Yeah, and try it for yourself. It's like getting a suit nowadays. It's not – there's not that – it's what's comfortable to you, what works for you.
Right.
What seems like a good fit for you.
Yeah. Because I know you go to the Microsoft store now, and they got all these new fancy tablets. Unpluggables and
no, there's all kinds of great gizmos and
I'd
gadgets.
I'd say going to those kinds of flagship stores, they're going to be showing the like fancy, crazy, top of the line.
Yeah, don't go to the Microsoft store. Don't go to the Apple store.
Go to Micro Center.
Go to the nuts and bolts. Go to the nuts and bolts brick and mortar stores like Fry's, Micro Center, Best
Buy.
And
go touch them and see what.
And they have it all laid out there for you.
And what fits your budget? Because that's basically what you want is the best computer for your budget. And you're going to be able to weigh the trade offs when you look at the different models. Maybe pick two and then compare them and see which one seems best to you, and the odds are you're going to be happy with what you get.
What about the station?
Listen, we got to take some other calls here. I apologize, but you know we've got a little bit, not a lot of time left. We got more people on hold, but
I appreciate you guys.
All right, thanks for your call. Bye bye. All right, Groove House.
Yes.
Who's up next?
Up next, we are going to speak with David.
David, you're on the air with Technology Bites.
I'm going to talk a little bit about how that flight to Malaysia, all the interconnection information they're trying to explore about how and where that flight ended up. But how much information can they gather from just technology?
The toughest part is they've gathered as much as they can gather. My personal thought is they've gathered as much as they can gather. They just haven't told us what they've gathered.
Okay, yeah. I don't want to get off on a conversation, too much of a conversation about this flight because there's news stories and all that stuff's out there. There's some anomalies in terms of the data communication, which I don't think has a tie into what we talk about here on the show. But here's what I believe to be true about that plane is it's either at the bottom of the ocean or it was successfully hijacked. And if it was successfully hijacked, then it's going to be in national securities of this nation's interest not to tell us all the details. They might very well know where that plane is. There might be a SEAL team on their way now to destroy it. We don't know, and we probably will never know. I will say if the plane was hijacked, chances are all the passengers and crew are dead. There's just, you know,
it's
the plane was hijacked to have a piece of hardware, and if it's not destroyed, we'll see that plane again.
And
I hate to end that show on a negative note, but thanks for the input, guys.
All right, well, thanks for your call.
It does seem just, and yeah, we're off in the speculation thing. The thing that's telling to me, as a total expert, as big an expert as CNN's had on.
Yeah.
Anyways, no, the deal is, you know, the pinging thing that they talk about, the last ping was less than an hour short of the absolute, like, maximum that plane would have fuel. And so either they had some place to go that was right at the very limits of where you could fly that plane, or it was going nowhere until it ran out of juice. And the ping thing, one of the things that they said that came from somebody that was credible was that the plane just sitting on a runway or sitting somewhere idling isn't going to send the signal that they got for that last one. It means the plane was flying in the air when they got the signal. And you kind of go, you know, it's one thing if it had stopped after 5 hours or whatever, you know, somewhere in the range of it where they got the last one, you kind of go, well, maybe they took it somewhere, maybe it crashed, we don't know. But when they get out to the limits of where it could go, that's certainly, I would think that tips the balance more towards, you know, for anybody speculating on it, it tips the balance more towards that it's out in the middle of an ocean.
Well, yeah, everything's been until
it fell.
Pretty speculative so far, but there was a sub that was lost in the late 60s. I think it was called the Scorpion. I don't know if it was a nuclear sub or not, but the military got involved, and they actually were using, like, Bayesian inference and, you know, some actual statistical methods for looking for it, and I've heard that they might actually get some of those guys to come in and start looking at it. So that's something where instead of saying, like, well, Occam's razor, this or that, it's like, all right, let's throw some math at it, let's go at it.
The most fascinating thing about this is that something the size and technology of a 777, that it could disappear in our current world,
it's mind-boggling because you would talk about
if it
was hijacked, that the first-class cabins were equipped with airphones. Why didn't somebody call? Nobody called. Nobody made any phone calls. Mm-hmm. Nobody reached out.
Yeah.
It's going to wind up on eBay.
Maybe the Bermuda Triangle moved.
Whoa. It's the Malacca Triangle now.
Well, we got one last call in the queue. Let's see if we can deal with that, and we'll wrap this show up on a positive note.
All right. Up next, we are going to speak with Paul.
Who wants to talk about video surveillance?
Yay.
What can we do for you, Paul?
Yes, sir. I've got video cameras that are recording outside my house, and they've got an app for it on a smartphone. How much data would I need to be able to watch that for an entire month? You know, like, would 2 gigabytes be enough?
To store the video?
Well, no. This is just to be able to watch it if I'm not at home, because it's got a box recording on it. I'm saying if something happens, I get a notification, And would 2 gigabytes be enough to be able to watch it throughout the month, off and on? Not day and night, but just.
Is this flash?
Are you talking about the data plan on your phone?
Yeah. Because there's an app I can download to be able to. If I'm not home, I can look on it and go to each camera and switch back and forth.
Yeah.
I'm just wondering.
2 gigabytes plenty.
How much would I need to do, and then would 2 gigabytes be enough?
2 gigabytes would probably be plenty.
You're just going to check in on it from time to time, right?
You're not going to watch it the entire.
You're only going to watch it like if you get an alert.
But the thing is, if you're at work or somewhere, you could be on Wi-Fi, and so you wouldn't be using your data also.
Yeah, you could probably go with a pretty minimal data plan.
So 2 gigabytes would be plenty enough?
That should be. And if you keep an eye on
unless
most
you watch
phones
it
have
a
thing where it'll show you how much you've used
so far
for the month, and you can keep track of it. I'd say the main thing is check on what happens if you go over, and then make sure you're covered, or else that you can change it before you
or
go
it's
over
like
so
a,
you can fix
like
it.
Or it's like a megapixel HD camera that's, you know, streaming.
Yeah, if you're watching high-def
4K
streaming
video.
Live, you know, video, then that would burn through.
Could also
well, it's just
getting
a pretty basic camera set. It's from Schwann.
I could consider getting a – doesn't, like, Sprint offer unlimited still? T-Mobile,
I've got a contract through Verizon right now, and I'm
– Well, Verizon's pretty good in that you know, they're offering their 4-gig plan for what they used to sell their 2-gig plan for or something like that, and they're not that expensive if you go over. If your house or business or property is threatened and some reason watching the video causes you to go over, then it's like $15, you know, for that month. So
yeah, I was just trying to figure out what would be the smallest plan I could probably go for.
Well, I would say the 2 gig you could probably get away with, and just try to also use the phone connected to Wi-Fi as often as possible.
Yeah. Okay, then.
All right.
Appreciate it. Thank you.
Thanks. Much coffee?
fascinating range of calls. Tonight.
It is a fascinating range of calls. And the Malaysia one kind of like, I did not expect to get a call and you know, to discuss the Malaysian flight. But
I thought he was going to go into more of the technology and stuff, but it kind of didn't go that route. He had mentioned something about why the phones didn't work and something. I mean, he asked about. Playing good cop.
No. I think you're right. I think, you know, it's just unfortunately that conversation just.
Yeah.
It fires too many different neurons or whatever. You know, it seems, like Pete mentioned, it just seems odd that something that high tech and with all the tech that we have today, that how do we not know, like, wasn't there something where you could see where that plane was the whole time and then it vanished? And
well, yeah, there's the one that's just sort of in the – and no, I'm not – I have no – other than thinking that they just ran out of gas in the middle of nowhere after flying that thing for a long, long time. That's the only thing I – that's my only theory.
Well, I think we're going to learn more about
that. Isn't it odd to take a big passenger plane and fly it all the way across a country and not draw any attention other than that, oh, later they look at the radar things, and you kind of go, Malaysia, I think that's like a military, like, ruler thing. So what kind of lame-o military ruler do you have when somebody can skate across your sky in an airliner? You know, or how defended are you against whatever else is going on there if they aren't paying enough attention to scramble a jet to see what the heck that thing was that went by? You know what I mean? Because it flew like right across Malaysia, and yeah, it started in Malaysia. But if there's an extra, if you're running the air traffic for your country,
but you're assuming it got to land.
No,
right?
No. The course that everybody agrees it took is that it went out towards Vietnam and then it hooked a like more than a left and went right across Malaysia.
To Albuquerque.
Yeah.
Yep. All right, we got to go. Listen, you've been listening to Technology Bites. I'm Jay Lee.
I'm Peter Hughes.
I'm Flicted.
I'm Barrett.
And he's
Conspiracy Guy.
Good cop for the ladies.
Groove House.
He's the keeper of the keys to the plane.
Sunday Streets, HTX, is a pilot initiative by the City of Houston that will close a stretch of streets to cars and open them to cycling, walking, dancing, socializing, and other family-friendly opportunities to be physically active. Sunday Streets are free and open to everyone. The event will be held from 11 a.m. to 3 p.m. during the first Sunday of each month in April, May, and June 2014. On April 6th, the Sunday Street will be White Oak and Quitman from Heights Boulevard to Fulton. On May 4th, it will be Westheimer from Hazard to Yoakum. On June 1st, it'll be Washington Avenue from Studemont down to Market Square. With no cars on the road, you'll be able to enjoy these streets as never before. This is listener-sponsored and commercial-free 90.1 KPFT.org and on Facebook at KPFT Houston. Don't think you can make a difference? Be part of an effort that can revolutionize the radio station you know and love. By joining KPFT's Sustainer program, you can support your station and help KPFT reduce its pledge drives. What's a Sustainer? Rather than giving a yearly gift, Sustainers give a monthly donation that continues as long as you want. Giving 5, 20, 100, or more monthly helps change the way KPFT operates. From having to meet our operating expenses through days and days of on-air fundraising to friends of the station boosting it off-air throughout the fiscal year. Contact our development director at 713-526-4000 to inquire about our Sustainer program. You can also visit kpft.org. Make a